Thank you so much. Can we just put the words of the bridge of that song up for a moment? I've popped it up on my phone just now. The band can take their seats. Let's just look at those words. Let's just look at what we've just sung, amen. So you can take your seats. The lost will come home, amen. The bound will go free. The weak will be strong. The broken redeemed. The sick will be well. The hungry will feast. The mourning will dance. And the blinded will see. The church will arise with power and with love. Our cities will know the glory of God. The future is bright. There's nothing to fear. Revival is now. The kingdom is here. Let the church say amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship, Lord, as we come into your presence right now. We thank you for this new day. As we open up your word, we pray, Almighty God, that you would be glorified in every word that is spoken. Lord God, it is for you. We are here for you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. I'm just going to take a wee drink of water. I get so excited there with that song. It was a good one. It's a good one. So good morning. It's great to be with you all today on this lovely sunny Sabbath day. We're going to be looking at a topic this morning and this afternoon that I believe impacts all of us, and that is relationships. We're going to be looking at relationships. You've heard me say quite often from this platform that we were made for relationships. If you go back to the beginning of time, to the first book of the Bible, to the beginning of time in Genesis 2, verse 18, God looked at Adam and he was not pleased. The first time we read of God not being pleased in Scripture, he looked at Adam and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And of course, God created woman. He created Eve as Adam's companion. Now, we're not going to just look at marital relationships this morning, because there's all different types of relationships. We have parent-child relationships. There's sibling relationships. We've got friendships. We've got partnerships. There are working relationships. And yes, of course, there are those romantic relationships also. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're looking for love, or you're looking to establish friendships, we are all impacted by relationships. God created us. God the Father created us for relationship, and it pleases him. It pleases him when we come together as brothers and sisters. And Pastor Hugh preached on that very topic last week. Of unity. It is so important that we come together as one. And we've been studying that also at Woman to Woman. Psalm 133, verse 1 says this: "How wonderful, how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony." It pleases God that we come together in unity, because we were made for relationship. And that most important relationship in our life needs to be our relationship with God the Father. We're going to look at that this morning. So we're concentrating our focus this morning on relationships, but I actually want us to look at three R's. We're going to look at relationship, we're going to look at reconciliation, and restoration. If you're taking notes, that's the three R's that we're going to look at today and next week. So first of all, let's start with relationship. We've already established that God created us to be in relationship one with the other. And if we were all to share our relationship stories this morning, I'm sure we would all have many stories to share of how our relationships have been brought us great joy. Some of life's greatest moments, haven't they? Been with those in our lives that we love. However, conversely, they have also caused us pain at times, haven't they? As pastors, Pastor Hugh and myself, we spend time every week with people who have been disappointed, who have been let down, who are hurting because of relationship. That's why it's such an important topic, church. It's an important topic. It's important that we get this right because we want strong and we want healthy relationships in our lives. I said already that those relationships could be with your friends, it could be with your family, it could be with your colleagues. And all those different types of relationship are God's design. Just look at the Bible, look at the stories in the Bible. We've got friendships with David and Jonathan. We've got Elizabeth and Mary, Paul and Barnabas. Then there's those dynamic duos, those great dynamic partnerships between Esther and Mordecai. We've got Deborah and Baruch. And if you're watching The Chosen right now, you'll know the relationship and how interesting the relationships are between the different disciples. It's a good watch. And then we've got those family relationships covered in the Bible. And let's be honest, the family relationships can be the most tricky, can't they, at times? I wonder why the first book in the Bible, Book of Genesis, is filled of stories about family relationships. There's everything in there. We've got marriages, we've got births, we've got romance, betrayal, we've got sibling rivalry, all covered in that first book of the Bible. So it's therefore important, church, that we learn to safely navigate through our relationships. Now, I know that can be tricky at times. That's why I said navigate through our relationships. It's not always easy, though, is it? When someone has let you down, when they have spoken harsh words over you, where they've abandoned you, rejected you, perhaps maybe betrayed you. In fact, I came across this poem as I was preparing the other day. Forgive me, I don't know who the author is, but it says this: to live above with the saints I love, ah, that will be purest glory. To live below with the saints I know, well, ah, that's a different story. And it's true, isn't it? Relationships can be very, very tricky at times. However, throughout Scripture, all throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to love one another, to be patient with one another, to bear with one another, and most importantly, to forgive one another. Let's just look at some of those scriptures now. Jesus, John 13, spoke these words: a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. These are famous words that Jesus spoke on the night before he was given up for death. And he told his disciples that it was a new command. It was a new command that he was giving them. What was he saying? He's saying, this time, I command you to love like me. Love others the way that I love others. Church, he's commanding us to love like him. So I wonder, do you? Do you love like Jesus? He said that we would be known by this key attribute. And I wonder, in your sphere of influence, the people that are in your life, the people that God has placed around you in your life, are you known by the way that you love? Is this your distinguishing feature? I know her. She loves like Jesus. See that guy? He's got this immense love. He loves like Jesus. The Apostle Paul highlights this same theme. He talks about being patient, and he very much talks about bearing with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. And this command to bear with one another is also featured elsewhere in Paul's letters. He's in Colossians. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Elsewhere in Galatians, And the NIV uses a different term for bear, with this time it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, if you carry each other's burdens. You know, this word to bear with means to carry, to bear with, to put up with, to support, to accept, to tolerate one another. Now, I know that you maybe don't want to hear this today. You don't want to hear that you have to tolerate that person that has hurt you. You have to accept that person. But this is a frequent command in the New Testament teachings in particular, that we are to bear with one another. And I believe the ability to bear with one another comes from a very important command, and that is to forgive one another. We read it there in Colossians, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in 4 verse 32, we read these words, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Church, forgiveness is key. It is key in nurturing healthy relationships in your life. Now, let me first reiterate something that I have said many times from this platform. Forgiveness. Forgiving someone else isn't saying that what that person did to you is okay or acceptable. That's not what I'm saying. I need to make that clear, because sometimes that causes us a blockage from holding back forgiveness. Because we think that by saying that I forgive that person, that what that person did to you, it was okay. Sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes it's not okay what they did to you. Are you hearing this? It's not okay. But by forgiving that individual, what you're saying is, I am not going to allow unforgiveness to weigh heavy on my heart. I'm not going to allow it to block my heart. And most importantly, I'm not going to allow unforgiveness on my heart that separates me from my God. I'm not going to have that. And that's what unforgiveness does. It blocks our relationship with God. It blocks it. And it impacts also on our other relationships. Now, there may be someone here this morning and you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, that's all very well and good, Debbie, but you don't know. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what that person said to me, how they have hurt me, and you're right. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry for the pain that you have experienced. But what I do know this morning is Christ Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to set you free. He came to set your heart free from the burden of that unforgiveness that binds you, that holds you in a spiritual prison. Paul writes in Galatians 5, it's for your freedom that Christ Jesus died for you. For your freedom. So don't allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't allow unforgiveness to weigh heavy on your heart and hold you back from living freely. Christ Jesus died so that you may be free. Ask God to help you today. Don't leave this place without asking God to help you today with that burden of unforgiveness. Jesus said these words in Matthew 6. 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. We are called, church, to forgive as Christ forgave us. And it's with his grace and it's with his mercy that we're able to do that. That we're able to forgive others when they hurt us and when they let us down. So, we were made for relationship, to love one another, to be patient with one another, to bear with one another, and forgive one another. Living in harmony with each other, that's what God requires of us. However, in my own life experiences, this has only been made possible when we know the Father's love, when we know his forgiveness, when we live in the freedom of his Spirit. So ask yourself, do I know the Father's love? Do I know his forgiveness? of my sins? And am I living freely, living in the freedom of his Spirit? We were made for relationship. First of all, to be in a right relationship with our Father God. And Jesus highlights this in the Gospels, Matthew 22, when he was quoting scripture from the Old Testament book Deuteronomy. He says this, very important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's first, the greatest commandment. And second is like it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching about relationship. In fact, three very important relationships. Did you notice? The relationship between ourselves and God. The relationship between ourselves and others. And the relationship we have with me, with ourselves. Because let's be honest, we can't get away from ourselves. I know sometimes we'd like to try, but we can't. Three very important relationships there. But they all impact each other. You cannot therefore live in isolation. For instance, if you're here today and you're finding it hard to trust, are you? Are you finding it hard to trust people in relationships? Perhaps that's down to the fact that you've been let down. Maybe you've been betrayed by someone that you loved. And because of that, that has held you back. It's prevented you from loving God or receiving God's love for you. Perhaps you find it difficult to trust God. Or maybe it's believing that God could never love someone like you. And this has an impact on all other relationships. You perhaps find it difficult to hear someone tell you that they love you. Is that you? Do you find it hard to hear someone say, I love you? Perhaps you find it difficult or you struggle to receive the Father's love for you. Ask yourself, has your negative experiences of relationship impacted how you perceive and receive the Father's love for you? Have broken relationships impacted how you see yourself? Are you hard on yourself? Do you berate yourself? Is there self-hatred there? Church, you will only know how precious and how special you are when you truly know and grasp the Father's immeasurable love for you. Because let me encourage you this morning, child of God, God loves you. He loves you so, so much. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, 1 John. The Message translation of this verse says that it is a marvelous love. And Jeremiah refers to it as an everlasting love. Romans 5 verse 8 in the Passion refers to God's love as a passionate love. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. Not when we had our life all together and our ducks in a row, no. He died for us when we were lost and ungodly. That's how much God loves us. When you truly, truly grasp God's love for you, when you know how loved you are, you will live loved and you will be able to love others fully. So do you see? Do you see how interconnected these vital relationships are? We are commanded to love God above all things, and we are called to love each other as ourselves. So perhaps you're here this morning and you've always struggled in relationships. Maybe you've struggled to accept and tolerate other people. Perhaps you've struggled to love and be loved. Then can I encourage you this morning, spend a little bit of time with the Father. Draw close to him, lean on him, and work on that very important relationship. As when we truly grasp God's immeasurable love for us, his infinite love for us, then we will be able to deal with all those other relationships in our life. So we've looked so far at the importance of relationship, in particular those three main relationships. I also want us to look today and next week at reconciliation and restoration. Big words. So what does to be reconciled mean? Well, according to the ancient Greek language, reconciliation comes from a family of words that has its root in the word alasso. And alasso means to change. It means to transform. There's an exchange that takes place. And reconciliation in a relationship means to change something. It means to exchange something. There needs to be a transformation. This word assumes that there's been some form of breakdown. Something has happened in that relationship, but it's now restored. It's gone from perhaps hatred and bitterness and anger to now one of love and forgiveness and harmony. And we've already said that God blesses relationships like that. So I wonder, in hearing that this morning, is there a relationship in your life right now? Is there a relationship in your life right now that you would like to see a change in? Is there a relationship in your life right now that you would like to see transformed, reconciled? Just as you sit in your seat right now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But just give that name. Peter, Jean, Jessica. Just give that name to God. Let him know that that relationship is the one that you would like to see transformation in today. You want to start that process of reconciliation with that person. Where do we start? Well, we start with that very most important relationship, and that is the one that we have with God. If you want to see restoration in that relationship with that person, we need to first work on our relationship with God the Father. We first reconcile ourselves to him before we can start the reconciliation process with anyone else. Paul writes about this, 2 Corinthians 5, that we are to be first reconciled to God. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. God reconciled us to him when he allowed Jesus to die on the cross. So the process of reconciliation started at the cross at Calvary. It was through Jesus. That version, the TPT version says, it was through the Anointed One. It was through his suffering that we are able to reconcile to a holy God, only through Jesus. And we read those beautiful words there, that he was shepherding the world, not keeping a record of our sins. Did you hear that? Not keeping a record of our sins, but forgiving us, freeing us, transforming us into a whole new being. That's what happens when you allow Christ into your life. You become a new creation. How amazing is that? God did that. He did that for you. He did that for me. He didn't allow our sin to separate us from himself. Instead, he took upon himself our sin so that we could be reconciled to our Father. I don't know about you, but if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. If that doesn't want to make you want to dance, if that doesn't make you want to sing, I don't know what else will. But it was when we were sinners, Jesus died for us. So the whole message of reconciliation starts at the cross. It begins with a father's love that he so desperately wants his children back. Have you wandered away? He wants you back. And his death and resurrection is the key. Aren't we glad? Romans 5 verse 11 says, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, though through him we have been through whom we have now received reconciliation. So I wonder if there's anyone here today who hasn't yet taken that step to reconcile with your Father God. Perhaps you're hearing this morning and you're hearing that the way to your healthy relationships in your life is through Jesus. Then get that relationship right today through Jesus with God. Reconciliation starts with the cross. It starts by you saying, Jesus, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you died for my sin. And I want to get my heart right with God. Come into my life. The Bible says that the way we start that relationship is through Jesus. Jesus is the way. You're looking for a way? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. You're looking for the truth? Perhaps folk have told you lies over the years. Jesus is the truth. He is life. He is life. And the only way to the Father is through him. It's through Jesus. Jesus said that. So the question is, have you received Jesus? If you haven't, can I encourage you to do that today before you look at any other relationships in your life? All you need to do is ask him. And if you need help with that, please come and see us. Speak to Pastor Hugh. Speak to myself, one of the elders. So church, let's first get our relationship right with the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's work on making that relationship the best relationship. And it's simple. It's like any relationship. If you're wondering, well, how do I get my relationship right with God? It's like any new relationship in your life. Or it's like an old friend that you've not seen for a while. Perhaps you're here this morning and your relationship with God has been distant. Perhaps you felt far away recently. So how do we get back on track with our relationship with God? Well, it's simple. We spend time with him. If I'm looking to develop my relationship with my friend, I'll spend time with her. I'll go for coffee with her. I'll talk with her. I'll ask her how she's doing. She'll ask me how I'm doing. We'll pray together. It's the same with God. It's simple. Spend time with him. Pray. Read your Bible. Come to church. Get around other believers. Allow them to pray for you. It's simple. Now let me share something else that comes from reconciliation with God. And that is our ability to reconcile others to God. Isn't that amazing? If we return to that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes that we are ambassadors of Jesus, that we carry the gospel message. We sang about it, the simple gospel message. You carry that message of love, that God would use your voice. Yes, your voice to tenderly lead others to reconciliation, to be reconciled with God. We're referred to as his ambassadors. Last week we heard that we are citizens of heaven. And it's not just a role for pastors and elders and leaders of the church. It's for all. An ambassador represents the one who sent him. So ambassadors go abroad and they represent their nation or the organization in which that has sent them. But we are being sent out by God's. You carry that message of grace. You're speaking on behalf of Jesus. It's that message that you received when you first believed. And we've been given that authority in Jesus' name. We have been given the resources of heaven. They're there for you to take, to receive. Ask him, God, equip me. God, give me the words. God, give me the opportunities to share your gospel so that those that I love, so that those that are around me would be reconciled also to God the Father. So I'm wondering, are you allowing God to work in and through your life? Are you sharing Christ in those relationships with your family, with your colleagues at work, with your neighbors? Are you sharing the love of God with them? Peter says, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an account for the hope that's in your heart. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to share that message of reconciliation and rejoice in God because of your own reconciliation? So let's conclude our introduction of this series of the three R's: relationship, reconciliation, and restoration. We were made for relationship. First of all, to be in a right relationship with God the Father. In our motto text at the beginning of the year, I presented you a message from the book of Joshua, chapter 23. And in verse 11 of that, it says that we are to be very careful to love the Lord our God. It sounds simple, doesn't it? It's a command. We're looking at obedience here. To love the Lord our God. Our relationship with God, church, therefore needs to be key. That we are to love him above all things. But what does that actually mean, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Well, we looked at this recently at Woman to Woman. All of your heart. Are you loving God with all of your heart? Means you're loving God with all of your affections. With all of your passion. Is he getting all of your affection? Or is someone else or something else? Are you loving him with a passion because he loves you? With a passion, we heard that earlier. All of your mind means that you're giving him first place in your thoughts. That you're allowing him to be in your imagination. All of your soul means that he has all of your will, your dreams, your personality is created by him. All of your strength means he is in all of your actions. So, in hearing that, are you loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? It's our first command. Are you working on nurturing that relationship with him? If not, can I encourage you to be first reconciled to God? Then, and only then, will we be able to work on those other relationships. The relationships with others and the relationship with ourselves. They're all linked, church. However, as we've heard today, we first and foremost need to love God above all things, to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, to accept his love and know then that we have the ability, the power, and the strength to forgive others only with God's help. So in order to do that fully, we must turn away from living separate from God. Come back, he says today. If you've wandered off, come back to me. Come back to the Father. If you have not known him as Lord and Savior, then ask him today into your life. My last verse for today comes from Romans 5, verse 10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Church, Jesus is the way to be reconciled to the Father. We heard earlier, reconciliation requires a change, an exchange, a transformation. So perhaps today, as the band come back now, perhaps today your prayer is this: Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my mind, that you can have all of me. Ask God to help you to love others the way that he loves others. Full of compassion, slow to anger, patient, abounding in love. And perhaps you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you've heard today that it starts with Jesus. It starts with being first reconciled to God. Well, as we come and we sing this song together, as we stand and we worship God now, maybe your prayer is, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me first of my sin so that I may forgive others. So as the band lead us now in worship, let's take the time now in this response song just to spend time with the Father. Give him those relationships right now that are causing you problem, that are causing you pain. Help me, Jesus, to tenderly love others as you love me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, your living word. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us, that you died so that we could be reconciled to our loving Father. Father, and we love you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that it was while we were yet sinners, Jesus, that you took upon yourself our sin and our shame. Lord, help us to get that relationship right with you. Lord, help us to forgive others when they hurt us, when they let us down. And for anyone, Lord God, that is in the sanctuary today that is struggling with that, we pray by your grace, your strength, and your mercy today that you would help them to come to that place of change and transformation in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God together.